Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to catch our drift here at Wham! Talk 1600. Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
It's a beautiful Saturday.
And producing, Derek Stone.
Hello.
Always good to have you here, my man. Thank you so much for taking care of us.
Sure, no problem.
With that groovy tune, not Pablo Cruz. I was expecting you to throw Pablo Cruz in and try and fool me.
I have finally learned
that
it's Boss Gags.
All right, so we got a lot to do today, a lot to cover. So we got some longer clips today that I'm never comfortable doing those longer clips, but when I find one that's like pretty important, I think it's our job not only to have fun here, but to educate people, and I want to do that today because I think we all need that wake-up call, and we're slow to pick up on that wake-up call, and there's things going on that we're not paying attention to, and of course the mainstream media is not giving to us. And, of course, that's why Brandon and I do this show every Saturday and kind of talk about the news of the week on The Daily Drift, www.thedailydrift.com, where we post this news for you. But first, let's take care of some business. Our sponsor this half hour is The Current Newspaper, CourantOnline.com.
CourantOnline.com. CourantOnline.com.
Yes, and I do my share of ranting. But
raving.
There's still time for you to get into the October edition of The Current if you get hold of me as quickly as you can beginning of the week here, 734-629-6010, and you can advertise your business with The Current. We've grown our business almost 600% over the last 7 years, so grow your business like we've grown ours, 734-629-6010.
Grow your business like nobody's business.
Yes. Or you can go to www.CourantOnline.com. Okay, there you go. Time to get in still. It's going to be a great issue, October. Dude. We've got some hot stuff coming in. I wanted to start today with some breaking news this morning, overnight. And it's the guy jumping the fence. Derek, let's run with that first track right off the get-go and see them.
Folks, everybody turn around. Head out the gate here. You're going to have to go out to 17th Street, please.
Exit.
This was just moments after an intruder was spotted on the White House grounds. Secret Service called for staff and media to depart the premises. They could be seen filing out of the briefing room and waiting on the sidewalk outside. The security scare came hours after President Obama and his family departed for Camp David, the presidential retreat in Maryland. White House staff and media were allowed back on the grounds 30 minutes later.
Okay, so we've had them jump the fence before, right? It happens sometimes.
It happens.
It's not a great big fence. It can be done.
But that's the whole point.
Yeah.
For me, I'm always fascinated with security procedures. Not to cut you off here. I know you had something good to say. But I'll elaborate on that in a few.
Well, made it all the way to the front door.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
What if he had an explosive vest on?
Exactly. Hey, drop him. There's one big no-no. I can understand, hey, you know, the president's not in danger because he's gone.
That doesn't matter.
Kill that guy as soon as he fails to respond. You're right. He could have been filled with C4. I don't know.
And I don't understand. I've been to the White House. I'm sure you have.
I have not.
You go down there, and let's see, when did I go? Early 90s. And I'd go there on business and to Washington, D.C., not the White House for business, but I was there.
You're a Washington insider.
And it was the funniest thing, too, because I was going there for a seminar on this new software package we got at work. And so just by chance, the day I get there, it's the day before the Million Man March.
Oh.
That, what's that crazy person's name?
It's been so long, and I put it on
Farrakhan.
Oh, Louis.
Yeah.
Calypso Louis.
Yeah.
Isn't that what Rush calls him? Calypso Louis.
So anyway, I get there, and so I'm walking around because I'm kind of, starstruck, if you will. Like, I'm in Washington, D.C., and I'm seeing all the cool stuff, and there's the White House. So I walk over there, and there's a line. And I go, what's going on? I say, oh, they're giving an impromptu tour of the White House. And so I, get in line, had a free tour of the White House.
just by chance.
No pat down?
No pat down. No.
No metal detector?
Well, I recall there was that. But looking around, you know, you walk over there and everything. I just did not. And then there's Lafayette Park with all the bums and everything sleeping and hanging around. It just didn't seem like the security is there. And the different vantage points you have from these different buildings that surround the White House, I've never understood it, how they can keep that place secure. It almost seems like in today's world, you'd have to move the White House to a more secure location, which is impossible to do. I don't understand it. I guess they do. But in this example, how just some schmo can go right over the fence?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he wasn't some trained commando from a foreign country, was he?
We don't know.
We don't know for sure, but I'm assuming
his
wasn't.
His first name was Omar.
He's just...
I'm just saying. It was Omar Gonzalez. Omar doesn't necessarily mean you're Arabic.
Oh, but. so he's half ISIS and the other half MS-13.
Could be. Stranger things have... You know, you can't take this. It's like a movie, isn't it?
It's unbelievable.
It's a hybrid.
So how he got as far as he did, I agree with you, he should have been shot, but the fact that he even was got over the fence or on the fence, you would think that there would be a response right away.
You would
think. And how you couldn't just, I shouldn't say too much because I don't want to be on the air, you know, giving ideas to people, but there's some no-brainers. If you're willing to die, there's some no-brainers that you can do to attack the White House, whether the first family's there or not. Because that's not really even necessarily the point if you're going to take an individual out. It's more of to make this demonstration of how vulnerable we are.
Well, maybe what happens is when the president leaves the White House, they leave the JV team behind too.
Unacceptable. I mean, if that's the case, it wouldn't shock me. You know, you hear these stories, God bless the Secret Service, but you hear these stories, you know, they go to these foreign countries and they're hooking up with whores and partying and leaving their IDs and everything else. So anything's possible.
Yeah. You know what? I guess what strikes me is, and the point I was trying to make with this is, when the man at the top is amateurish, unprofessional, and I say that with all due sincerity.
Anti-military.
I firmly believe that Barack Hussein Obama has led the way toward mediocre. And why wouldn't the rest of the government follow suit? The Secret Service, the military, which is what he's doing when he's purging generals and majors and middle command commanders from the military across the board. I mean, thousands of middle commanders are getting rid of, purging them. Why wouldn't the rest of the federal government begin to fall apart and act as amateurish and unprofessional as the commander-in-chief?
Mm-hmm.
For me, that's the way I look at it. They're going to follow.
Sure.
I mean, when Bill Clinton acted, shall we say, unethically with Monica and whatever else happened, I think the nation as a whole, and we ended up with Amazon or the dot-com bubble and everything else, people took advantage. It's okay. The president's good with it. I'm good with it.
Well, you know? Too, when Clinton, you know, with the whole Monica Lewinsky and all the other scandals with women, and he had to go under oath and give a deposition, it became debates about, you know, what's a real lie? What is lying?
Yeah.
What is sex? Yeah. You know, I did not have sex with that woman. Okay. And his, you know, is that really considered sex? I'm not going to get graphic about what he did, but the commander-in-chief sets the tone,
he
I think is what
the
you're
tone.
Saying.
That's exactly what I'm saying. The tone has been set for 6 years now, and it's been a less than professional, a less than acceptable tone. And I think the rest of the government is falling into that anarchy, that chaos, that, you know, it's
kind
like
of a
Nero.
Who gives a damn type attitude.
Yeah, it's
good
like Nero fiddling while Rome burns, and we are now Rome. And we're burning, and we've got a guy who's not taking care of business.
Rome's burning while he's out on the golf course.
Yeah.
Smoking a cigarette.
And that leads me to deal with, we got Jenny calling in. Let's take a call from Jenny on line one. Hi, Jenny. Welcome to the show.
Hey, gentlemen. I was going to steal your thunder, but it's not my show.
Uh-oh.
So it's yours. So you said what I was going to say, but I'll take it even further. The border's not secure. Nothing is secure.
Yeah, it's exactly right, Jenny. I mean, the border's not secure. The military is not secure.
Right.
Our Obamacare website is not secure.
There you go. I mean, it's called laziness.
Yeah. The only thing that is secure are the emails of Lois Lerner, because nobody gets to read them except Lois, I guess.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
It's just a farce.
Yes, it absolutely is, Jenny.
And they all know it, and so they're going to just act the way they want to. Because they know that the king is not going to care.
Yeah.
He's just riding out this last 2 years and getting ready for his post-presidency where he can make a ton of money.
I would
hopefully he won't try for another, but it's another, I digress.
I know where you're leading with that. Yes, that's always in the back of those of us who are conspiracy nuts like myself. I sometimes think that same way.
Well, I've half joked saying that, Michelle will be...
the new president.
Yeah, running for office.
Oh, my gosh, Michelle against Hillary.
Yeah.
See that? That made me sick.
Yeah, there you go. Yuck. Anything else, Jenny?
No, but that's what I... You know, the whole thing is just... everything is just breaking down, and that's the way he wants it, by the way.
I have to agree. I believe that. He wants things to break down to the point where he can remodel them the way he chooses to.
Yep, there you go. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Jenny. Appreciate the call. Okay, so there you go. We stole Jenny's thunder for a change.
Hey, you know, speaking of security, and we're talking about the White House and how it's unbelievable, yet believable, that somebody could do this. One of the coolest security breaches that I ever saw, if you will, or remember, is I think Yuri Andropov was the, general secretary of the Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. So this was, mid-80s, I'm going to say? And some dude, I think from Norway or Sweden, I think one of the Scandinavian countries, flew a plane in. He was a pilot. He flew this small plane in under the radar into the Soviet Union and landed on Red Square.
Oh, I remember,
you remember that.
I do remember
and
that.
And he was arrested.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many years in jail he had to do, but you talk about a ballsy stunt.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, I wanted to get to today, and let's take John real quick. John, we've got a lot of stuff to cover. What do you got?
Okay, just a couple things. One thing on what he just said for flying in Red Square. What about that couple that, like, wedding crashed and got inside the White House?
Yes.
Yeah.
Little Richie, that's another thing. You don't know if they were carrying a vial of some biological agent or a bomb or whatever. But here's what's going on. When you talked about the military being weakened, he's got people in there now. They've asked him through the years. This is documented. It's not just me saying it. Will you take the guns away from the people on the Second Amendment? Well, it depends. Well, will you do it if you have to kill them? No. So he's replaced those people. And then, as like a token to saying an apology for taking bin Laden, he takes a Chinook helicopter, I believe, with the two blades, the slowest moving, loads it up with 22 of our Navy SEALs, takes 10 years or better, and these guys are unique to be in that position, and they're leaders, military leaders, puts them all together, and they never do that, and then people get on board just before it takes off that are of the...
And sent them into the Valley of Death, Yeah.
You send them in, they're all killed, and it's like I'm saying, I'm sending them in the valley where you can shoot them down, and this is my, like, token and apology to show you I'm still on your side. And those men, when our country goes awry because of the way he's doing things, would have spread out through the United States and would have been leaders of people, pockets of people, for resistance against the government when they turn on the people, and that's another reason why he took out that many of them.
Yeah, well,
sure.
I can believe that because I have the same thoughts, John. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. So you were going to say something. Go ahead. No? Oh, you looked like you were about to.
No.
Well, I want to talk about – we're going to talk hard jihad, but I want to talk about the soft jihad that seems to be happening here. And so we've got a clip. It's a little long, but I think you need to listen to it. And listen very closely because Belgistan, or Belgium as it's called – right now, but it could very well become, has a lot to do, Brussels has a lot in similarities to Dearborn, Michigan. Derek, you got that tape ready to run? Okay, let's listen to it. It's a long clip, but listen to it and listen to it carefully. It's about how Islam seems to be spreading within a city.
The graffiti says it all. Welcome to Belgistan. Muslims are still a minority in Belgium, but in the capital of Brussels, they're already the largest religious group. One quarter of the city's population, and are expected to be the majority in less than 20 years. The most confrontational Muslim group here is Sharia for Belgium, which used shouting and threats to shut down a debate by moderate Muslims a few months ago. I sat down and talked to the leader of Sharia for Belgium, Fouad Boukassem, alias Abu Imran. Sharia for Belgium is a small group that a lot of people don't take seriously. But he sounded very serious when he told me that he expects Muslims to rule Belgium and the world.
We believe that the Sharia will dominate the Sharia will be implemented worldwide.
Sharia for Belgium is a public relations nightmare for those Muslim groups which try to play down their ties to radicalism and Sharia law. Imran was completely open with CBN News, saying Islam and Sharia law are inseparable and democracy is wrong.
Sharia is Islam, to be clear. There is no difference between Islam and Sharia. It's just a name. Democracy is the opposite of Sharia and Islam. We believe that Allah is the legislator. Allah makes the laws. He is the one who tells us what's allowed and what's forbidden.
I know some Muslims who think of themselves as Democrats and they say they're against Sharia. Are they real Muslims?
Yeah, it's really funny when I hear someone saying, yeah, I was speaking to a democratic Muslim. It's the same thing as saying I was speaking to a Christian Jew or to a Jewish Muslim or something like that. It's impossible. How could you meet a Jewish Muslim or a Christian Jew? And a Muslim that says he's against Sharia, he's not a Muslim. It's impossible.
Like in many countries across Europe, a culture war over Islam is well underway in Belgium. Last month, the Mosque of Charleroi was desecrated with the mask of a pig head. Then the daughter of the head of Belgium's right-wing party, Anne-Sophie de Winter, posed in a bikini and burqa with the words in Dutch, freedom or Islam. Someone painted over this poster, giving her a full burqa. They also painted over freedom, and Sophie de Winter received death threats. Imran went on YouTube to call her father, politician Philip de Winter, a pimp for letting her pose in a bikini.
This community is a dirty, perverted community.
And Islam is flexing its muscle. Girls in bikinis have been attacked, Jewish and Christian symbols vandalized, and in Muslim neighborhoods, Sharia law enforced.
The big cities in Europe are the first places where we can see what will happen when the majority is Muslim. We see it in the big cities first, Brussels, Amsterdam also, Rotterdam, Antwerp.
Sam Van Rooy has co-edited an important new Dutch language book called Islam, Critical Essays on a Political Religion.
Islam is a fascist ideology, and it's not a religion like Christianity or like Judaism. And the danger in it is that it has a religious side. Not like communism and Nazism, who are only ideologies, but Islam has a bit of both.
Imran is looking forward to replacing Belgian law with Sharia law, including amputation for theft, stoning for adultery, and death to homosexuals.
When they hear someone speaking about Sharia, immediately they start to think about amputations, stonings, killings. That's just, I don't know, 1,000th. Of the Sharia. Did you know that in 1,302 years of the Islamic State, with the Sharia implemented, we had something like about 60 hands cut off, amputated? So in 1,300 years, 60 hands. Is that really a number that you could say, oh, frightening everyone? I don't know. And if you're not a criminal, why should you be afraid of Sharia?
A showdown over Sharia is coming in Belgium because the high Muslim birth rate is changing the political landscape. The most common baby name in Brussels for 4 years running has been Mohammed.
You think it's a matter of time before Muslims are the majority here?
Yeah, of course. The disbelievers themselves, they say that in 2030, something like that, there will be a majority Muslims here in Belgium. Even the city Antwerp, more than 40% of the children in the schools are Muslims. So it's just a matter of time. No problem. We don't have any problem.
And Imran offered this advice to white native Belgians:
Push us back or something like that, I don't know, maybe they can start to marry four wives and have a lot of children. Start with that, maybe they will have a chance, but I don't think so.
Van Rooy also sees a Muslim future.
I don't think it's gonna stop. I'm very pessimistic about it. I think more and more people, Belgian people, will leave Brussels. So it will come real Islamic capital in decades. The victory of Allah is very near. So I think that the West need to prepare themselves for a wave of Sharia and Islam.
Dale Hurd, CBN News, in Brussels and Antwerp.
How's that spook you?
That's pretty scary. Well, you know, shame on the Belgium and the European multicultural mindset.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly coming back to really bite them. But who are we to throw stones because it's happening here too.
Yeah, we're a decade behind, maybe two, behind what's happening in Western Europe. And it's nice to see. I think it was Angela Merkel earlier this year said multiculturalism is not working, but they haven't done anything to stop it. Number one, you stop the immigration and give it time. I mean, kids that are here who are Muslim, two, three generations down the road, they may become as disinclined to go to mosque as many of our youngsters nowadays are inclined to go to church. But do you want to take that chance?
I mean, is it out of the question in Belgium and Brussels in this case to deport some of these people that are advocating a non-democratic Sharia dictatorship?
Yeah. I mean, the real scary thing is, and the guy hit it at the end, he knows that they are literally breeding themselves into a majority. Because in Western Europe, I think it's 1.2 people, kids per couple. So they're not. And if it weren't for immigration here in this country, we would have a declining population growth. I mean, the Western world is doing that. And yet when these people bring this, I'm not going to call it a religion anymore because, you know what, frankly, I'm not convinced that it is. I think he hit it right. It's an ideology with a twist of religion in it to help sell it.
Exactly.
You know?
To put that fanaticism a fanaticism spirit on it.
Yeah.
With the religious
claim. Yeah, and I think that's what
claim.
I can tell you this from my own personal history. When I was in my 30s, I was kind of at a loss spiritually. I wasn't sure what – I was raised Episcopalian, but I questioned – not that I questioned a single God. I always believe that. I always will believe that. But I read the Quran front to back. I went to the bookstore. It was Barnes & Noble or something. I bought an English translation, and I had the Arabic on the sides. And I read it, hoping to find something in there, you know, something to drive me, something that I wanted.
And an intellectual curiosity.
Yeah.
Yes.
And – fortunately, being a half-witted guy, I got to the end and said, why are there special rules for Muhammad and the rest of us have to live differently? And it struck me at that time to say, yeah, that kind of sounds like Bill Clinton. Why does somebody have to not live by the same rules as the rest of us?
Or Leonid Brezhnev.
Yes. And so what bothers me is, as Americans, and let's just take Ann Arbor. We're a pretty multicultural setting here in Ann Arbor. We have people from all over the world, all kinds of religions. But they're not scared. They're not even thinking about this. If you're an atheist, if you're a Buddhist, if you're a feminist, if you are gay, you should be scared to death of what this religion will do to our community.
If you're agnostic.
If you're agnostic.
Probably most people
why
in reality
are. Why are we not seeing the National Organization for Women standing up and pointing at the Middle East and saying, that is wrong. You are treating women as second class. You are raping women and trying to purify them through rape. Are you kidding me? Why are not more Americans, especially those alleged minority classes, the gay people, the feminists, stand up for yourselves? Do you not see what's coming down the road because you think you're treated badly now by white middle-class America? You wait until there is a Muslim majority. And I'm going to say, within probably two or three elections, Dearborn, you will probably see some form of Sharia, at least on the ballot. Because you know what? Once they become the majority, it's their community. They can do whatever they want.
Well, you know, when it violates a country's constitution and it violates, you know, a country's values that are still intact to a large degree, what actions do you take? You know, do you have a civil war within to I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to take smarter person than me, obviously.
It's a complex issue, and we're heading down the wrong path, yeah. That's for sure.
All right, we'll pick this conversation up on the other side, 734-822-1600. See you on the other side.
This is the Blaze Radio News. I'm Cassie Wilson. In northeastern Pennsylvania, police continuing to search for Eric Freen, the man suspected of ambushing two state police troopers, killing one and wounding the other. Some residents were not allowed back in their neighborhood as the search continues, others staying inside their homes.
We just can't believe everything that's going on. It makes us feel really unsafe, you know, thinking that he's so close to us in the woods. I keep looking out my back window and we're scared.
That woman talking to America's News headquarters on Fox News. A fence jumper at the White House leading to criticism of the Secret Service. Utah Republican Congressman Jason Chaffetz questioning the Secret Service's ability to protect the president, saying the agency failing to do its job. The intruder sprinting across the lawn, ignoring commands to halt and making his way through the White House door. The Secret Service tackling him just inside the North Portico. He's being held at the hospital for mental evaluation. The president's plan to battle ISIS receiving a lot of criticism.
You don't win wars through incrementalism. You don't win wars with a single dimension. You don't win wars by telegraphing your punches and telling your enemy what you're not going to do.
That's retired Major General Bob Scales on Fox and Friends. Speaking on Fox News, former Republican Governor Mike Huckabee.
The most dangerous person in any room is the person who does not know what he does not know. And the president doesn't know what he doesn't know, and he's not willing to learn.
I'm Brad James, The Blaze News.
But the president saying the fight against ISIS terrorists is uniting politicians and others.
While our politics may be divided at times, the American people stand united around supporting our troops and their families. This is a moment of American leadership. And thanks to them, it's a moment that we will meet.
Obama speaking in his weekly address. This is news on the Blaze Radio Network. Truth lives here.
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of The Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and websites. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
Max Marina in beautiful downtown Whitmore Lake and a new location in South Lyon is the place for all your boating needs. Boat and dock slip rentals, dock sales, and new boat sales. Sun Chaser pontoons, all powered with Yamaha outboards. Max Marina carries all your marine accessories. Max Marina is an authorized Yamaha repair facility. You can trust Max Marina to provide professional, certified repair service for all makes and models, from a basic tune-up to a complete engine rebuild. Come in now to get a summer startup for just $89.95. Max Marina is right off US 23 at exit 53, or call 734-449-4706 to schedule your boat for pickup. That's 734-449-4706. For more information, visit maxmarina.com. That's maxmarina.com. Let Max Marina earn your business.
Don't you know I'm loco?
I love that, dude. I heard this on the radio a few days ago. The band is Cypress Hill. And
right. Yep.
I hate rap 99.99%, but when I hear something like that, it amuses me.
Yeah. It's catchy.
It's fun. Very catchy. Yeah. Very fun, yeah.
Unlike our subject today,
yeah,
which is the society and culture of Islam.
I think Cypress Hill would be banned under Sharia.
Oh, absolutely it would be. Are you kidding me? There you go. There's a whole other market of people who should be standing up and saying, wait a minute.
The potheads.
You know,
pothead rappers.
Yeah. Talk about, you know, the other thing that made me laugh in that was when that guy said, in 1,300 years, we've only cut off 60 hands or so. Really? I think they did that in about half a day last week in Iraq.
In Saudi Arabia, one of our so-called allies.
Yeah, they cut off 19 people's heads a week or so ago. I mean, come on, are you kidding me? It's just the lies are incredible. And let everyone know that under the Quran, it is perfectly acceptable to lie to your opponents and the non-believers. So you can never take a contract and expect it to be fulfilled if you are an infidel.
Right. And, yeah. Because under Christianity, lying is lying.
Yes.
But under Sharia, to get ahead, to take the advantage, lying is perfectly acceptable.
Yes, absolutely.
Not only acceptable, but encouraged or almost required.
Yeah.
Right? If that's what it takes.
Well, it's part of spreading the Quran, spreading Islam is part of your Sharia way of life, you know. I put on the Daily Drift today, blogger sentenced to death for insulting the Prophet Muhammad on Facebook. Now, that's in Iran. A blogger in poor psychological condition has been sentenced to death after being found guilty of insulting the Prophet Muhammad on Facebook. Now, do we behead people or kill people for insulting Jesus? No, I think we give them art awards for putting urine on pictures of Jesus and stuff like that.
You're forced to contribute through taxes to have these art displays.
Yeah. Yeah, but you'll never go to one of those crazy off-the-wall displays and see a picture of Muhammad or stuff because you get killed for drawing a cartoon or picture or any rendition of Muhammad.
Yeah, that's considered blasphemy, right?
Yeah. By death. That's that cartoonist in Denmark or wherever is still under a fatwa of death for doing a cartoon about Muhammad.
Well, who's the British author that Satanic Verses.
The Satanic
Verses. I always forget his name. Derek looked him up for us one time, but I forget again.
It should be rolling off the tip of my tongue, but not. But I mean, this is what people.
So there you go.
If you're a Facebooker, if you are a Twitter person, don't expect to be continuing to Facebook and tweet anything you want if you end up under an Islamic culture of. In this country or any other country that you're living in. And they're seeing that now in Europe. Pretty soon, they will put an end to that. You know, and it's, as you said during the break, it's the ultimate weapon is the birth rate.
Yeah.
You know,
how do you combat that?
How do you, combat somebody outbreeding you?
Right.
Because that's what's happening. They're just outbreeding us.
Yeah. You know, in Germany, I believe it was in the 60s, they had a shortage of labor, and so they had these guest workers. Workers from Turkey come in. Turkey, a NATO ally, which is to me a joke.
Yeah.
You know, so, and Turkey becoming a member of the EU, you don't hear that talk anymore, but that was big time for a while. So anyway, these Turkish workers come into Germany. They don't leave.
No.
They have the birth rate.
Yeah.
Germany, I'm sure, among the Germans there, it's negative. They probably have a declining. I know it is in Russia.
Right.
They have a declining birth rate.
Yeah, all the civilized
Japan,
first and second world countries have declining birth rates, and it's only immigration that's keeping our population growing at this point. But speaking of Turkey, now, we heard this week that they're, the Obama's trying to put their donuts.
Hungry, yeah.
The Obama administration is trying to put this consortium of countries together to battle ISIS, and we're not going to get a whole lot of help. And
Turkey, we never do.
And Turkey was one of the countries that said, yeah, no, we don't want anything to do with it. It makes you think, why? Well,
Turkey's part of the problem.
Yeah, they had 49 hostages from an embassy in Iraq that were held by ISIS.
Yeah, just released.
Just released. So let me ask you this then. If it's perfectly okay to lie to your political opponent, did Turkey lie to ISIS saying, we won't involve ourselves in attacking you if you give our 49 people back? Now that they got them, will they lie and say, all right, we're in?
I think Turkey supports these types of people.
I think so, too. I mean, they would love to probably get to that caliphate level of whatever. I'm assuming that's what they want. But I think, and I hope, the only hope that I can see in the whole grand scheme here is that business people who are Muslims will eventually see that, you know what, it's not good for business, it's not good for my wealth to be living with these barbarian, hooded, bearded vermin who are cutting the heads off people and trying to institute Sharia law because, you know, it's not good for business, for anybody.
Yeah, I wonder, though, because I believe under Khomeini's revolution that against the Shah, I think they were middle-class business people that were the main demographic of his support. I think they probably regretted it later.
Yeah.
But You never know.
Yeah,
I think Qatar. Qatar, whatever is how it's pronounced, the Kater. Persian Gulf. Yeah. is another major supporter of ISIS.
Absolutely.
And also at the same time, I guess, a U.S. ally.
Yeah. Well, you know, they'll get what's coming to them when they get overthrown themselves. And I think that's going to happen. I mean, Saudi Arabia, I think it's just the royal family who are kind of thinking, ooh, maybe we've been backing the wrong horse because the people we were backing are now coming to kill us.
That's the only time they seem to get on the right track is when it comes back at them. Otherwise, yes. They seem to be this whole Wahhabi and fanaticism. They're more than happy to finance it all over the world.
Yeah.
The madrasas in Pakistan, for example, all the mosques, not all the mosques, but a lot of the mosques here, a lot of this financing of extremism comes right out of Saudi Arabia. And, of course, where do they get their money from?
Yeah, they're
us.
They're playing both sides of the coin. You know, is what they're doing.
And
eventually,
at it.
You're going to get
like
caught.
Like Pakistan, same thing.
You're going to get caught eventually. Well, here's another story that I put on the website today. So you remember the two teenage girls from Austria, I think it was. I'm trying to see if it's in here. Anyways, the two teenage girls, European girls, decided to fly down to be with the jihadis. And, well, one of them is now dead. No details yet as to how she died or who killed her.
Is this one of those crazy broads that wants to leave Western Europe and go become a wife of one of these these nuts?
Yes. And they were nice, young, good-looking girls, and one of them is now dead. Thank you very much for seeing something. It astounds me that you could watch television or the internet today and say, boy, I want to be part of that gang.
And you're right, and they do.
Look, those jihadis are not the cool kids in class, let me assure you.
Well, they're, it's part of that whole Sharia mindset. They want to go over there and be one of the wives of one of these people, be a slave, and just be a reproduction factory.
Really? Do you think a modern girl thinks that way?
They do. They're coming from here, Europe. I mean, not a lot of them, but there's some that do.
There must have been something else in their mind thinking
it's
that it would be cool.
Purity of Islam.
Yeah, I'm going to be cool. I'm going to go join the jihadis. I want something. They can't be looking to be abused. Who wants to go and get abused? Really?
See, I don't think
or murdered
that
in this case.
They look at it as abuse when they're here. Now, when they get there, maybe that's another story. Maybe it's like, oh, buyer's remorse.
Yeah.
What have I done?
Well, and here's another reason for all you young men and ladies not to go and join the jihadis in the Middle East. Report says STDs are rampant in areas controlled by ISIS. According to citizens living in areas under ISIS control, an epidemic of contagious diseases surged in areas seized by the Islamist fighters of the Islamic State of Iraq. Lack of medical equipment, paucity of medications, and unprotected sexual intercourse with local sex slaves, they call them sexual jihad, are deemed to be the main reasons for the widespread occurrence of the infectious diseases in Iraqi's northern and western provinces. Well, let's go to the Middle East and get some clap. Really? I just want people to know this. I don't know if anyone else is talking about this, but we should be. We should all be saying, look, that is not a valuable way of living your life or ending your life as one of these young girls just found out. There is nothing romantic, there's nothing adventurous or exciting about traveling to Middle East to live, work, and die with these people who don't care about you or your values or anything else in your life.
But see, one of them, they're so brainwashed and they're so far along this path of insanity that everything you said that's reality, they would say is just a lie and propaganda, and you're an infidel, so you shouldn't be believed anyway.
Well, I am.
You know what I mean? That's the mindset they would have.
I'm an infidel, and I'm proud to be an infidel. All right. Well, let's change horses here a little bit, I guess. So we beat this one to death, so we'll jump on another one. Let's talk a little bit about the border. And it's kind of related because—
Oh, totally related.
Yeah. The open border that we have is open to anyone coming in from the world. And we have a clip here from— Megyn Kelly, who's interviewing Representative Justin Chavez, who interviewed in a hearing at Capitol Hill Jay Johnson, the Secretary of
Homeland
Defense.
Oh, he's a real winner.
You got that track ready, Derek? Let's run with that one.
My concern is that I have reason to believe that on September 10th, there were actually four individuals trying to cross through the Texas border who were apprehended at two different stations that do have ties to known terrorist organizations in the Middle East. Are you not aware of that?
I've heard reports to that effect. I don't know the accuracy of the reports or how much credence to give them, but I've heard reports to that effect.
And I guess that's my concern, is you as the secretary, does that information rise to the level of the secretary?
All right, so that, we needed to cut a little bit more of that. I'm going to explain why. That was Congressman Jason Chaffetz today grilling the secretary of the Department of Homeland Security over new information that the congressman has suggesting that four people known with terror ties to the Middle East, were allegedly caught sneaking over our southern border into the United States one day before 9/11 of this year. And the secretary neither confirmed nor denied it. Joining us now to Kelly File exclusive, Utah Congressman Jason Chaffetz, a member of the Homeland Security Committee. Congressman, good to see you tonight. And so the reason I think we cut that wrong is because you first asked him, you asked him, have we ever apprehended anybody who's a known terrorist or a suspected terrorist trying to come across the border? And he said, sitting here right now, no specific case comes to mind. That doesn't mean there is none. Perhaps FBI Director Comey can think of one, but nothing's coming to mind. And then you, as a good lawyer, zeroed in and said, well, My concern is I believe it actually did happen as recently as September 10th, and it was four people who tried to come across and you apprehended them, and only then did he say, oh, I've heard reports to that effect. Do I have it about right?
It's exactly right, Megan. He's the Secretary of Homeland Security. You need to know this. He was sworn in on December 23rd of last year. It was, I thought, a simple question, but he says he doesn't know the answer to that. The answer, unfortunately, is yes. We captured, there are 466,000 people that have been captured crossing our borders over the last 351 days. Yet by Homeland Security's own numbers, 157,000 people got away. And the people we did capture, they come from 143 different countries. 13 were from Syria, 6 were from Iraq, 4 were from Iran. We had 4 people with known ties from a Middle Eastern country captured, having already crossed the border, our southern border in Texas, 4 people captured from a Middle Eastern country with known ties to a terrorist country, and he doesn't know the answer to that question?
But
okay. Exactly. He didn't want to tell the truth. What has happened to our government when they don't, at least, they can't even answer the question directly at a hearing from our Congress?
Yeah, one would hope that he really knows the answer and he's just playing dumb because these people are being detained at a black site and they're being interrogated. But we know that's not the case.
Yeah. I know he's smart enough. Doesn't want to admit that there's a problem. Hey, you can't win this war if you can't admit there's a problem and that you're actually at war and that there's – it drives me insane.
And when Homeland Security admits that 157,000 – what was it they said?
157,000 got through.
You know it's at least 3, 5, 10 times that.
Yeah. And how many of them – would come to probably the community in the United States that has the biggest Arab population, I think, outside of the Middle East. It might be L.A. now, but I think Dearborn is still. How many of them came to Dearborn? How many of them are within 20 minutes of our house? Is 12 Oaks Mall, Southgate Mall, any of the malls around here, are they open? I'm not a big mall person anyways.
Well, you know, we sit here and we talk about the border, and we've been doing this for ever, right? And when we talk about it in general terms, it's scary enough, but when you hear something like that, the specifics, the details, it really hits home that much more. And it, like you said, it's unfathomable. I mean, how scary it is.
Yeah, it's unbelievable to me that we have an administration. It's not the administration. It's the media not picking up on this. Why didn't we see that on ABC, CBS, NBC? Why is that not on the news for most of us to watch and listen to and say, boy, that Jay Johnson is a complete moron, or he's a criminal hiding information to protect the president.
Well, you know what's really sad, too, is, and this is a little off subject, but it is on subject, is our news cycle and the media, the way it goes. ISIS right now, the border a little bit, it's kind of flavor of the month. And I'm not discounting the threat in that when I say flavor of the month. I mean the presentation to the exclusion of everything else. North Korea, Iran, Al-Qaeda, Afghanistan, Pakistan, all this stuff is still going on. Russia and Ukraine, all this stuff is going on, but you don't hear about it.
Yeah.
So we won't be hearing about this maybe a year from now. It'll be some other crisis, and that'll be the focal point, and the border, ISIS, all that will kind of just drift into the background.
Yeah, they've overwhelmed us.
That seems to be the pattern all the time. Yeah,
they've overwhelmed us with problem after problem after problem. You say Russia. U.S.-Canadian jets intercept 8 Russian aircraft in the last week. I mean, since when has Russia sent bombers into our airspace? That was back in the Reagan era. Are you kidding me? We're in Cold War, and Barack Obama does nothing. They know we're weak. They know Barack Obama will do absolutely nothing about it. And the entire world is now poking at us, sticking their fingers in our eye and saying, you know what? Give us your lunch money.
And as far as I know, North Korea has not stopped their research on ICBMs to put nuclear warheads here to launch from their country. Iran hasn't stopped their nuclear ambitions. Iran has not stopped funding Hezbollah, Hamas, you name it. I mean, it's all still going on. And, I guess maybe the American public can only digest so much.
Yeah. Well, as Americans, we need to do something. And let's run with this next track, because you know what? This is pretty poignant. When we talk about an election coming up and the people that you're voting for, if you continue to vote for the Democrats who have controlled our government for the last 6 years, you're going to get more of the same. And there's a small clip here from Sean Hannity was discussing border security with Democratic Representative Louis Gutierrez. And Derek, you got that one ready? Listen carefully, because this is what you vote for when you vote Democratic.
Without immigration reform, you cannot secure the border.
You know what?
Because
you
can
pass a bill. Last word. You can pass a bill, secure the border first. Would you support that?
No, because it would be folly.
Okay.
It would be folly.
In the meantime,
I would be derelict
every
in
day
my
you
duty
don't, no,
to protect
every day you don't
America.
Pass that bill.
No,
you're,
I would no,
be
you're
derelict
demanding,
in my
you're
duty.
Demanding amnesty.
Okay. No, an emphatic no, and it would be folly for him to protect the border. Why is that man not up for treason right now? Him and every other congressman who feels and thinks and talks like that should be under arrest.
Yeah, I mean, here we are.
As a Michigander, this election, you have a choice to put a man like him, Gary Peters, in the Senate seat to replace Carl Levin, who thinks and talks and walks exactly like Louis Gutierrez.
The thing is, it's such a no-brainer, common-sense thing. If you have to prioritize the things you have to do, securing the border is by far the most important thing you can do.
Absolutely. You know, and you can say it. If you close that border, you build the wall, you put people to work, you put up the fences, Republicans will turn around when it's sealed and say, all right, now let's deal with the ones that are here.
And not only the fences, but the tunnels.
Yes. Secure the border. That's money worth spending. I'll borrow money from China to build the wall, the fence, whatever it takes to secure the border.
Absolutely.
That's money well spent. But that man right there said, absolutely not. I will not protect the border. I'm infuriated.
What a moron he is. Yeah.
And he is my...
He's your guy.
He's my choice this week.
Dumbass of the week.
Representative, Democratic Representative Louis Gutierrez. That man is disgusting and should not be anywhere near a leadership position in this country, because he just told you, the American people, I will not protect the border. It doesn't get any clearer than that.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say possibly Joe Biden is dumbass of the week, but he could win it every day. and the thing about, you know, not to, you know, go too far off here. I thought as I was actually in the bathroom listening to the monitor of a Joe Biden soundbite on the Blaze, is that I think I'm agreeing with Dan Martin. He's like a decoy. He's a guy, I don't know if he's the greatest actor in the world and he makes this stuff up, or if it's just natural and he really believes this and it comes out, but he's a decoy from Barack Obama in the sense that you definitely don't want to shoot Barack Obama, because then you end up with
Joe Biden.
But Joe Biden takes a lot of the attention away from Barack Obama and these others.
Yeah, I call him Foot Mouth Joe. I've called him that for years. I mean, the things that come out of his mouth, the incident where he called in context, as Stephen Crowder was saying on Friday.
Shylock.
Now, I'm not real familiar with the term. Call me ignorant, I guess. But he used it in context, and yet he gets a pass.
See, I never thought of it as a Jewish slur. I just, in the mob books I've read and everything, and you're watching these gangster movies, it's just that it's a loan shark.
Yeah, I made no Jewish connection to it.
I didn't either.
But I'm not the smartest person in the world. And
well,
so
we learned something. Yeah, I don't know.
I learned something, but yeah. So that's my pick for dumbass of the week.
You know, Gutierrez. You know, Scotland voted to stay in the U.K. You know, they had their independence vote. What's it called?
Referendum.
Referendum, yes. They had their referendum, and it was 55 to 45. And I heard a Scottish commentator say that, I don't know, how did he word this? You know, when Ken calls and he says, hey, you know, you should vote for a third party because we don't have true conservatives in the Republican Party. And the people that voted in Scotland to stay in the UK, this person said, they voted with their heads, but not with their hearts.
Yes, I heard that too.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the way one could phrase it here, voting for a Republican, when you do it with your head, but not necessarily with your heart.
Right. Yeah, I mean, when you make a decision to vote with your heart, you're not probably making the best decision. You need to put your thinking cap on and make a logical decision. It's that simple. Am I going to vote for a third-party guy and thus by ensure that you get a liberal candidate
like Gary Peters
or Mark Schauer? Are you kidding me? I mean, you can say it until you're blue in the face. You're cutting off your nose to spite your face, and people say, that's all right, I don't like my nose anyways. It's astounding to me that people will not use their head. They're voting with their heart. That's what we accuse the Democrats of doing all the time. They're voting emotionally. Save the children.
Well, that's because they don't have brains. They must vote with their heart. The Democrats.
Salman Rushdie. Thank you, Derek.
Yes, thank you,
Derek. The author of the Satanic Verses, and he's probably still under a death sentence from the Islamic community for whatever it was. I never read that book. I thought I was going to read it one day, but yeah.
You know, I've always had it kind of in this subtext bucket list to read that book.
Yes.
Just because of all the publicity it got. I heard it's a horrible book. I heard it's like boring, long, you know, goes nowhere. But I still want to read it, just to say I did.
Just to say I don't understand why he has a death sentence on his head. It's a book. It's a fictional work. You know, we do fictional works about Jesus all the time, and nobody makes a big stink about that.
I mean, Jesus is a regular cast member on South Park.
All right. Well, until next week.
Family Guy, I think. I don't know.
That's right. He is. Yeah. Until next week, go to thedailydrift.com and stay abreast of the information you need to know.
See you. Take care.